Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Another world, another time, in the age of wonder.
There was once a dream, you could only whisper it. Anything more than a whisper, and it would vanish.
A battle between good and evil.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Where shall I find a new adversary so close to my own level?
Try the local sewer.
You know of the rebellion against the Empire?
The Avengers, Earth's mightiest heroes.
Peace means having a bigger stick than the other guy.
One of these days, I'm gonna have a stick of my own.
I'm Groot.
Welcome to the Neverland Podcast. The podcast for lovers of Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
Please welcome your host, Jeremy.
I thought he'd be taller.
Yeah, I can fly.
All it takes is faith. Trust.
Well, if it isn't the Star Spangled Man with a plan, what is your plan today?
Up to Neverland!
Take your pixie out of your pockets, Neverlanders. Sprinkle some pixie dust around and grab that happiest thought so we can fly away to Neverland. Because it's me, it's your... I was going to say D-Old Jubble G for anyone who remembers that in the 90s. But it's your J-E-R-E-E, or yeah, your Jeremy. Okay, well, you want to save me from this one?
Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay.
Well, I think we just made it worse.
Yes. Hey.
It is us. It is your Spider-Pan, Jeremy, and Lost Boy Eric. Hi, Eric.
How's it going, Jeremy?
Well, I think we're a little punch drunk. One too many hits from the snake.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. What a couple of weeks it has been. Tad Stones, can you believe that interview that we had?
Yeah, that was great. I just kind of had to sit back and let him tell stories, and it was great that we had so much that I was able to split it up and have a very DuckTales-focused episode, getting to hear about Pandora, and then last week, I was just like, I didn't even bother recording anything new. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to insert this here. Gives me time to, I've been reorienting as a new spring semester has started for me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and the fun thing is I started out, I think I probably had mentioned, I don't know if I've on the show, but I think I've talked to you about it, but I was found myself in five classes, because I was on the waiting list for cinematography, and as we got into the first day on that Monday, there was 18 students in there, and you had only three cameras to go around, so that's six people to camera, and that's just too many people to work in one thing, and the professor had said that he had tried to bring in some seniors that were really needing to get graduated, and I had a feeling I was one of them, but my original plan was cinematography I was going to take this spring, so he did send an email out, says, we've got way too many people in here, and it's my fault, but if anybody would like to drop to try to pick it up in the spring, and I said, well, you know, that's fine, I wasn't going to take it until the spring originally, so I've dropped that one, so now I only have four classes, but I do have my book ready for cinematography next semester, which is nice. It has left me all of my afternoons free so I can go and work with Uber and Lyft and things like that, so I'm kind of glad because I've got a lot of projects going to be working on with my, I'm doing video editing, which a first little get warmed up project has been taking a scene from Gunsmoke for the old series and actually the original footage, clapper and everything, I've got it.
Oh, wow.
I had to assemble the scene, and now I'm adding sound effects. I've got to find some free licensed music to put behind it. Having a good old time. I've even found some people who managed to recreate some of those great Indiana Jones sounding punches, and I put those into the scene because it's a Western. You know, you got to have that over the top.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been kind of playing with that, and I know I'm going to have some projects with advanced radio production. We're working on doing some things live, which we were going to do actually a live broadcast, and I remember I was posting this all over on our Facebook and everything, like, hey, tune in, and because I'm going to get to go live and be able to play some music live, and everything went wrong, and... So we weren't able to do it at the time, but we will be doing some live stuff on UCM's The Beat, because I do my normal show at 4 o'clock every day where I'm playing Disney music, so... It's been kind of a crazy, you know, kind of getting into the groove and finding all the textbooks and all the stuff I've got to read and learning all these different things and all the stuff that's it's going to make me better at doing this podcast, and it's also going to launch me more into a career. And even right now, a lot of stuff I've been learning is doing live music. If I was like with a band, what I would need to know in order to run the audio at the venue and how to set that up. I mean, just lots of interesting stuff already in the first couple of weeks, and I've been running myself crazy, but it's been exciting. It's been fun. I love learning this stuff. It's just a lot of work, and I am exhausted.
It certainly sounds like it. But what a way, what a week, and what a lot of stuff to go on, especially with all of those classes. So good luck to you, and really best of luck with everything going on.
Oh, yes, and I'm going to need it, because another year and a half, and then I will graduate with this. It'll be awesome.
All right, excellent.
Did you get a chance to watch the eclipse go by?
You know, I might as well be staring at the sun. Yes,
hopefully
yes,
with glasses,
I
right?
did. Well... You know, I actually, I was really able to, you know, spend some time watching the eclipse. You know, I had, you know, just watching that love story between Bella and Edward and trying to decide, is it Jacob? Oh, wait, wrong eclipse?
Wrong eclipse.
Wrong eclipse. Yes, I did get to see the eclipse, and yes, I did get to use some glasses to do so. Unfortunately, I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, where we did not get... that much of an effect from the eclipse. All of my family live in Idaho, and they lived right in the path of totality, so they got that whole experience of the moon covering the sun, seeing that corona effect, and really experiencing that 20-degree drop in temperature, which really surprised all of them. But I saw that Kansas City was right in that path of totality as well.
Yeah, well, not perfectly in the path. It went along St. Joe and kind of worked its way across, and I was actually in Warrensburg on campus at the time of it, and we were right on the path, so I got to watch and see the whole corona. And it was quite an experience. You know, I've seen some other eclipses, which there's one girl that I won't name. I don't think she's ever experienced anything like this before in class. But I'd mention, you know, because she was saying that she was really nervous about this whole thing and all the different things that might go crazy. And I said, you know, it's just a regular natural phenomenon. I've been through this a couple times before. And she had mentioned, well, I didn't think this had happened since like 1970 something. I said, well, eclipses actually happen all the time. It's just not always total like it is for us. But it always happens, and not everybody ever gets to see a total. The total usually happens like over the ocean. So this is kind of a neat experience that I've actually now been through the total, but I've been through it before, and I've used the old pin and shoe buck technique. I've stacked series of sunglasses on my face to be able to watch an eclipse before. But getting to watch a total and seeing it, it was like the lights got turned out. It was amazing. I tried to capture some video because I couldn't get any good photos because my phone kept trying to adjust for the low light.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to get some pictures if anybody follows me on Facebook. I did get some pretty decent video. You could see where it was starting to look like dusk and all the lights had come on and the crickets and the cicadas started all going. And then it did get cooled off pretty good throughout the course of it. But even I love the buildup to when it's going. Because all the colors seem to change as it goes along, which I've observed before, and I have seen before how shadows get a little interesting and lose some of the definition. It's just neat to just watch everything so changed by seems like a singular event and how different things can be. But I did take a moment while I was looking through my glasses, and I was, you know, trying to also hold my phone up through the dark lens. I'd peek outside the lens so I could look and see a bit of the corona, because it's not as bad if you can just peek when the sun is pretty much covered. You're not staring directly at the sun. You're looking at the moon now. So I kind of took some quick peeks, but I was very careful so I didn't hurt my eyes. So I did kind of see a little bit of corona going on. And it was just dazzling. But after it was over, it was such that drop-off because I had such a build-up. Like, this is going to be kind of neat because this is so rare to get to see the whole thing. But then it was over, I was like, gosh, you know, now it's like my day's done. I had peaked for the day. You know, my classes were over. The only thing left to do was go work with Uber and stuff. And I did actually pick some people up halfway through the city that needed to go back into the city to their hotel that they had flown in to watch the event. So
it made it interesting. So you got to turn around.
Yeah, and every now and then I do that. Which I literally did turn around because this was another funny story. So I had gone in this town called Oak Grove. That's pretty close because usually it's around Green Valley that Uber starts to kind of pick up. But I guess they've been expanding that. So I stop in Oak Grove and I fill my gas tank up. And when I've done that, I go ahead and I get online and then I start going. I get 3 miles down and ding, well, it goes off. I have an Uber trip. The back in the other direction, I had to go back down over to Oak Grove. I don't know if satellites get knocked crazy with an eclipse or something, but my Waze that I use for navigation could not even see the town of Oak Grove anymore.
Oh, goodness.
I had to just navigate by the seat of my pants, you know, and fly and get over there and pick these people up. And they had trouble, too. They had been trying to get a trip to go from Oak Grove all the way back to Kansas City and had no success. They couldn't find any drivers. Well, I was the closest, nearest driver, but I hadn't logged in yet. So after I'd logged in, that's when it finally got to me. But what they had done is instead of trying to get the trip to Kansas City, they were thinking, well, maybe we can only go certain distances. So they went to go to the next town down to Green Valley, and then they were going to try to hitch another ride from Green Valley to Kansas City. And they told me that, and I said, well, I can take you all the way to Kansas City. It just didn't go off because I hadn't gone on, you know, I was the nearest driver, and I hadn't logged in. So they're like, oh, you can take us all the way to Kansas City? And I was like, I sure can. So it was a nice, good, long trip, which I make some good money on. And so, yeah, that worked out pretty good. I just kind of thought it was funny that they had thought that they could only do, like, short burst trips over and not do the entire route. So, yeah, that was kind of entertaining.
Well, great.
But you caused quite a kerfuffle on our Facebook page this week.
Well, I does what I does.
Sounds like you should be eating spinach when you say that.
I does what I does.
So you have this McDuck family tree that you've got signed, and even it looks like you've been written into the family tree that you scanned on your computer and posted in there.
Actually, I just took a picture with my iPad, but not so much a scan, but a picture. But yeah, this was the Duck Family Tree that Don Rosa has created. There is a probably a better known version, which was created by Carl Barks. What Don Rosa does is for the father of Huey, Dewey, and Louie, he leaves the name blank and fills that in with the name of whoever has come to him to ask for a signature from him, and then he enters in that person's last name for Huey, Dewey, and Louie as well, and that's what he did on this. So oh, cool. I guess that officially means I am now a part of the Duck family.
Yeah, you and everybody else who got a signed picture, apparently.
So I wonder how much of a claim I have now to Dismal Downs.
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. You might want to investigate that. Get your nearest duck lawyer and find out.
There we go.
But yeah, you posted that to Facebook. Well, and woof.
Yes, that certainly took off on our page. We appreciate all of the likes and all of the shares, really. It was shared more than liked, I think. Apropos time for it, with the new DuckTales coming out, I know we haven't talked too much about it together, you and I, but I certainly really did enjoy the first episode, and I'm looking forward to what's coming up here on the 23rd of September with their next couple of episodes, as it looks like we're going to get some classic Uncle Scrooge storylines with the Beagle Boys and his number one dime.
Yep, which I do have a schedule to talk about that here later in the show. So we'll definitely get to that. The only other thing to mention over these last couple of weeks before we really dive into some good Disney park news is the passing of Jerry Lewis. Was that just this week, I guess?
Or, oh, goodness.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Oh.
Yeah, I guess it was, yeah, I guess it was just this past week. It seems like we've had a lot of death here lately.
Yeah, it's been such a big week as well with everything else that's been going on.
Yep. And boy, that was impactful. I mean, because I grew up watching Jerry Lewis movies and, of course, the MDA Telethon, which I always enjoyed watching, but it also harkened to the end of summer and the beginning of the school year.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it hasn't been the same since the MDA Telethon hasn't had Jerry Lewis on, and they haven't even really been broadcasting on television so much. It's just not the same, and this is like the final nail in the coffin of never having that entertainment and that telethon going to entertain me on Labor Day.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because Labor Day is generally around Heather's birthday, so I have other ways to entertain myself by going and treating her for stuff.
But he certainly did a lot to bring awareness to muscular dystrophy and with that telethon. You know, but he really was a, you know, fantastic actor. There's always legends told about the movie that he made that was never released, about a clown in a concentration camp. But, you know, I always loved watching The Nutty Professor, and, you know, it's, you know, Chewie hasn't been a part of the entertainment industry for some time, but he's definitely a presence that is going to be missed.
Yeah, and he's almost got a love him or hate him type of reputation in the modern world now, where people either appreciated his brand of comedy or they didn't. And I sure appreciated it. It was goofy and fun, and, you know, he was always better. I think him and Dean Martin together were always the best. There's even a movie, I think, called The Stooge that I remember watching that Martin, a singer, and he tries to go off on his own without Jerry Lewis's character and realize they're just not as fun apart as they are together. And I'm like, wow, that seems to be what happened, though, in real life, except for they didn't get back together. So, but yeah, we're definitely going to, you know, we already miss having him in the entertainment world, but he will be missed from the world.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
Alrighty, well, okay, we found a treats list for Walt Disney World. Actually, I found this, I guess about a week ago, and I've already, anyone has been listening to Neverland Radio at 4 o'clock Central at UCM's The Beat, if you go to digitalberg.com, you can find links there and listen in, and you can hear my show. But I already did a little segment where I was talking about some of these things that are going to be offered up for Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party at the Magic Kingdom Park, and oh my goodness. They have already started. They started on Friday, August 25th. It's running all the way through November 1st. There's going to be new treats offered all day, every day, according to the Disney Parks blog. Oh, my goodness. I'll go through this first section, and I'll let you talk about the next here. But at the Main Street Bakery, I figure that's what this photo they have on the Disney Parks blog. But there is this bright orange Mickey Halloween cupcake. It's got chocolate cake filled with a purple marshmallow fluff, and it's got orange vanilla buttercream sprinkles and a white chocolate scarecrow Mickey. Basically, it's like the pumpkin head Mickey thing. And it's also, it's got a Mickey-shaped cinnamon roll that has a spooky twist with orange icing and a chocolate spider web. I'm hungry already. And also, you don't have to say much, and there's not even much about this on the blog. The Plaza Ice Cream Parlor is scooping up pumpkin-flavored ice cream. That's all I need to hear. I am there. I love ice cream. I love pumpkin spice stuff.
I wonder how well that will pair with pumpkin juice from Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
Well, you know, if you can do that all in one day. And from what I know of the pumpkin juice, because, you know, Lost Boy Philip had gotten there and he brought me back an empty bottle. He tried to bring me back a full bottle, but he couldn't get it through customs, so he actually had to guzzle it there and brought me the bottle because it's a neat bottle. But it mainly seems to have a lot of apple juice and some other fruit juices that kind of give it that that fall and autumn type of flavor, which still sounds really good. Mm-hmm. So. But there's some other Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party treats that are only at nights.
Yes, only for those attending Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. The first one that they are showing off here is a pumpkin cheesecake dome.
Oh, they had me a pumpkin and cheesecake.
It's got a graham cracker streusel base, orange white chocolate glaze, and a white chocolate Mickey. And that can be found at the Main Street Bakery as well as Gaston's Tavern. They also have a Jack Skellington dessert at Sleepy Hollow in Liberty Square. It's a vanilla panna cotta with chocolate cake, vanilla buttercream, white chocolate, and dark chocolate crisp pearls, as well as dark chocolate curls and a white chocolate Jack Skellington. This looks almost like a push-up pop. Made out of cake and frosting.
And, I'd almost wouldn't want to eat the Jack Skellington on top because it's really cool.
Yeah, it is a really fantastic likeness. I also don't want to eat this next one because they look so cool as well. They've got Haunted Mansion desserts. Each one has a different flavor and a different accent, and they can be found at several different locations. The first one can be found at Aloha Isle. They have a chocolate tart that's filled with chocolate ganache, and it's topped with Oreo panna cotta, as well as a white chocolate Haunted Mansion inspired portrait. Now, it doesn't say which one of the portraits is available there,
right,
but I'll go through them here in just a moment. The second location is Auntie Gravity's Galactic Goodness, and there it's a chocolate tart filled with raspberry compote and topped with white chocolate mousse, and again, a Haunted Mansion inspired white chocolate portrait.
Yeah, I think that's the one that has the wallpaper. From the color of the icing, it looks like it's raspberry, so I think that has like the wallpaper image.
Quite possibly.
Mm-hmm.
The next item can be found at Liberty Square Market. That's also a chocolate tart filled with a chocolate ganache and peanut butter icing.
Oh.
Ooh, I love peanut butter icing.
Uh-huh.
The final one is at Storybook Treats. It's a chocolate tart filled with lemon curd, strawberry compote, and topped with strawberry mousse. And again, another Haunted Mansion-inspired white chocolate portrait. Now, it's talking about these portraits. What they have done is they have taken the spooky purple wallpaper from the interior of the Haunted Mansion, as well as at least three of the four stretching portraits. And these pictures top each one of these different desserts.
Yeah, once again, so, I'd almost want to keep the top and not eat it just because the picture is cool.
Just about. I mean, and hey, you could eat it in reverse of how the pictures reveal themselves in the Haunted Mansion, even from the bottom up.
Sure. Are these treats actually shrinking?
Yes. Yes, they are.
In fact, they are. Oh,
now
they were. Oh, you had something to add on to those?
Oh no, go right ahead.
Okay, because I love waffles. I love ice cream, and I love pumpkin. This is a pumpkin Mickey waffle with vanilla ice cream, whipped cream, sprinkles, and a caramel sauce. And it's only going to be at Sleepy Hollow. And, of course, they're Mickey waffles. So,
if
you've never seen these, they're not like a waffle with two smaller waffles on the sides to do a Mickey Mouse shape. They are literally Mickey's face and head.
Mm-hmm.
They are adorable. They remind me a little bit of the Mickey pancakes that you can get there on site. But these look like they're a little smaller than the full-size waffle.
These are a little bit smaller than what you would consider to be a normal, regular waffle. Waffles are available. You know, these Mickey waffles are always available at Disneyland and Disney World, and as a breakfast item at many of the restaurants. And so this, it's just changing up the recipe a little bit.
Except for now it's pumpkin with ice cream. And I want one. But I don't see myself getting out to the parks that quickly. But, have you ever had a dirt cake?
Yes, I have. In fact, I've had, I'll put it as a kitty litter cake.
Oh, yeah, that's I've had kitty litter, but that seems more disgusting than just saying dirt.
Yes, that is. But in this case, it is a dirt cake.
Yes, generally a dirt cake is like a chocolate mousse, and you've got like some crumbled up Oreos in it and make some layers. Even if your mousse is pretty much, a lot of times, is like chocolate pudding mixed with some whipped cream, and it's really good and whipped up really good. But over at the Pecos Bill's Tall Tale Inn and Cafe, they're going to have this with a chocolate gravestone, and there's going to be some chocolate cake and a chocolate mousse with the chocolate glaze with the Oreo crumbs. And see, here's where they kind of lose me. I've always hated it when they put the gummy worms on top.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I don't like gummy worms. I don't want the gummy worm getting in the way of my mousse, because I love the chocolate mousse more than I love the gummy worms.
Yes, yes. I'm very much the same way. Gummy worms and cakes just don't work for me.
Yeah, and this is going to have some gummy worms on top of it. But it's cute when you see the presentation, because it's got a little gravestone, and that's the chocolate, a little bit of candy, and it's on the picture it has on the Parks blog. It says, "Boo to you." And it's a very small serving, but that's all right. You can get more than one. And you don't have to share. I'm giving you permission to not share. Buy one for them, and so, because this is small enough, it's not big enough to share.
Yes, it's perfect as a single serving.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Anti-Gravity's Galactic Goodies a moment ago. They're also going to have candy corn ice cream,
which I don't know if I'd be into.
You know, I love candy corn. You know, the honey based, the good Brock's candy corn. You know, none of that cheap waxy stuff. But the flavor of it, you know, it's honey. So
yeah,
I'm really excited. You know, to see what this would taste like.
Yeah, and I can have candy corn. I can take it or leave it. I mean, it's one of those things that's very, very sweet, so I can't eat a whole lot of it because it's just going to be, it gets to be too much for me after a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I've managed to enjoy some, and I know they've had like candy corn ice cream actually. I don't know if it's Breyers or Blue Bunny or whatever. Well, I think last year there was a candy corn ice cream, and I think Philip tried it out, and he really liked it. I didn't try it, you know, because I'm diabetic, so I don't generally get a whole lot of treats. I can dream, though. So I haven't actually tried anything like it. So this is, might be something I might give a try because I might like it. But, you know, mixing that with the sweetness of ice cream seems like this might be a sugar rush in one bite.
Too true. Too true. Mm-hmm.
But
now the... Oh, I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
You go right ahead. I'll let you read this one.
the final item that they're showing is going to be available at Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party are chocolate crisp... Rice treats and Vampire Mickey brownies. They're going to be available at various outdoor vending kiosks throughout Magic Kingdom. So, you know, a good selection of different treats and goodies to go along with all of the candy that they hand out.
And I have a very good reason for letting you read the name of that treat, because when I was trying to record it this week for the Neverland Radio Show, I had a hard time, and I kept going, grab chocolate crisped rice treats. But crisped rice is hard to say, because I want to just go crisp rice, or Rice Krispies.
Yeah. Exactly.
They're Rice Krispie treats, and it's got chocolate and sprinkles on it. You know, come on. But I was actually trying to call it what they said to have, and it's a chocolate crisped rice treat.
Well, because we don't know if they used Rice Krispies, and they probably don't have a marketing agreement set up with Post.
Exactly. But this has started. There are specific dates already set up for the Not-So-Scary Halloween Party. Like I said, it already started on the 25th. It's also going to be on the 29th and Tuesday, and there's some dates. You can actually go to the Parks blog and find out what the rules are for your costume, how to get some tickets, and get some details on the party. And so you can, if you're planning a trip to come out anytime here in the next few months, all the way up until November 1st, go check it out and try some of this stuff. Because I tell you what, it's Halloween, that means you eat candy and sweets. But there's stuff to do, of course, over in Disneyland. Well, more DCA, I would say, for Halloween.
Yes. Well, and of course, we've got the Halloween party going on at Disneyland as well. But, you know, DCA over the past few years has certainly been getting into the Halloween spirit as well. Cars Land, they're going to have a huge makeover for Halloween. But what we're talking about today is actually taking place a little ways away from Cars Land, over at the new Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout.
Yeah, for some reason they seem to have left Groot behind.
Yeah, that's, he's tiny, he's little, maybe he can be misplaced and forgotten, but, you know, this change to the attraction, this Halloween overlay, actually takes place after the Guardians have escaped. And as you mentioned, they left a group behind. So Rocket is now enlisting us to go and distract all of the creatures that have also been released there in the Collector's Collection so that he can rescue Groot. Now, while the Collector's ever-resourceful assistant, Afeda, may try to assure you it's all just a momentary setback, we are advised to proceed with caution as we're going on the ride. Now, once the sun sets every evening during Halloween time at Disneyland, Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout is going to transform into Guardians of the Galaxy Monsters After Dark. They're going to continue having music as the center of the experience, and an all-new song, Monsters After Dark, has been created especially for the attraction by Tyler Bates, who composed the Guardians of the Galaxy, or the music for the Guardians of the Galaxy films.
As well as Iron Man 3, he did that really kind of cool Iron Man theming there, you know, the end credits that are kind of that 80s style, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what makes it perfect to work on the Guardians films.
Now, this is going to be available during Halloween time between September 15th and October 31st. So those already long lines for Mission Breakout are just going to get longer at sundown.
Oh, yes. And they even have a hashtag Save Groot that they want everybody to start using. So I'm hoping that people are going to take some photos, maybe somebody get some video. I'd like to hear this new song, Monsters After Dark, to see what, you know, see what the song's like. So if somebody gets a recording of that, or if Eric happens to get a chance to go out there and check it out himself, you know, picks this hashtag up, and we'll share it. It'll be awesome.
Which I'm hoping to do.
Yes, because I wish I could get out there. But it's time to... This is seriously turning a corner.
Well, this was Halloween, and now we'll be making Christmas.
Making Christmas! Yeah, we've got some announcements on some of the people of Candlelight Narrators going to go on during the Candlelight Processional at Epcot. I'm sold already. If I was going to be able to go, Warwick Davis.
Yes.
Heck yes. But we've got a nice listing. They don't have everybody. There's still some gaps in there. But from November 27th and 28th, that's Matt Bomer. I know him mainly, I think, from Chuck. He was... Oh, my gosh. I forgot his name on Chuck. He's mainly... You've seen him in the like first and second season. I think he died at the end of the second season. Oh, man. But, okay, you'll all know like Chuck's like roommate that he had that he thought had stolen his girl and thought he had gotten Chuck ejected out of the school when he finds out later that he was actually trying to help him. And there was a previous history with Sarah that it was kind of a thing. And I cannot think of the guy's name. But he's one of those guys, he's just too darn good looking, but apparently he's also super nice and awesome as well. But he's going to be there November 27th and 28th. Whoopi Goldberg from December 1st through the 3rd. Pat Sajak.
Can I have a vowel?
Huh?
Can I have a vowel?
Pat Sajak. Although, if you want a vowel, Vanna would probably hand it to you more than...
Too true.
Pardon me. So, December 4th and 5th, Pat Sajak. Warwick Davis will be December 12th through the 14th. Trace Atkins, 15th through the 17th. I'm not even a country guy, and I know who Trace Atkins is. 18th through 21st, you'll have Neil Patrick Harris himself. I have no idea, though. December 22nd through 24th, a CCH Pounder. Do you have any idea who that is?
None whatsoever, to be honest.
All right, neither do I. December 25th through 27th will be Jackie Velasquez, Christian recording artist, and also December 28th through 30th is Chandra Wilson, which I know who that is, but I cannot think of it. There are going to be some different packages. The professionals perform is going to be performed three times per night at 5, 6:45, and 8:15 and it's going to be at the American Gardens Theater. And you can set yourself up. You can get a meal option set up where you can eat the Acacius Royal Banquet Hall, the Garden Grill, Captain's Grill, Disney's Yacht Club Resort, and there's also breakfast and dinner options offered at Trattoria Al Forno at Disney's Boardwalk. If you want the breakfast, it's going to start at $35 for adults and $21 for children, plus tax. And then, of course, you know, the dinner is going to be $44 for adults and $15.50 for children. And children is considered ages 3 through 9. So there's a bit of an extra cost, but it's totally worth it to get your meal and attend the processional. You can actually go ahead and book all this stuff and get more information at 407-WDW-DINE.
Well, and now, you know, moving from Christmas a little bit closer to what we're looking at now, the Disney Night of Joy is going to be coming up real soon at Disney World as well. And that's coming up on September 8th and 9th.
Yeah, so if you were planning to go, you probably already know about this.
But did you know that Night of Joy has been going on since 1983?
Yeah, I didn't know that until I was looking this up, and apparently both Stephen Curtis Chapman and Mercy Me are running up on being very close to how many performances they've had. They're running neck and neck. I guess Stephen Curtis Chapman has had 10 performances, and Mercy Me has been there with 11 performances at this event.
Oh, wow.
Which some people are going, who are they?
They did I Can Only Imagine.
Yep. I know them, Mercy Me, that's the only thing I know from them, and Stephen Curtis Chapman, he's been around Christian Market for a long time. I guess there's a little video here that's on the thing. Let's see if we get some good audio out of it. Well, it looks like it's all tech, so it's not going to get in there. Let's put that to stop. But yeah, there's going to be a lot of different artists out there other than just Mercy Me and Toby. Toby Mac is one of the ones on the list, and Stephen Curtis Chapman. I'm only familiar with a few of these. How about you?
Yeah, I remember Danny Gokey from American Idol. He'll be there on September 8th, September 9th. Amy Grant. Everybody knows Amy Grant, right?
And Kirk Franklin.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Stephen Curtis Chapman, as we've been speaking with. Unfortunately, I don't know all of these performers, but I'm sure that they're going to, you know, do their best and perform quite well at this annual event.
Yeah, Friday, September 8th, Saturday, September 9th, all Christian music. So if you're into that type of thing, which I am, but I'm not really into these particular artists. I'm more hard-edged. Although I see Crowder on there for September 9th. I think I saw him play on a Sunday afternoon after a Royals game, and he was a lot of fun. Even if you're not familiar with some of these artists, you're bound to have a good time if you're planning to attend these. Now, if you go to nidaofjoy.com or, of course, 407-W-DISNEY. You can get your tickets information, and if you have a group of 10 or more, you can call 877-NITE, N-I-T-E, JOY, to purchase group tickets and learn about some group discounts. Now, this, I guess, is a separate event from the parks. So mm-hmm.
Yes, get your tickets separately. Yes, this is actually taking place. This is taking place, I believe it's at the Wide World of Sports Complex.
Oh, okay. Which is that over near Disney Springs?
You know, I honestly don't know the layout of these resorts in relation to each other, to be honest.
Yep, well, I'm not entirely sure of that myself, but that's what's going on. Oh, and now we get to turn a corner to something that I am not pleased about.
Yes, a few weeks ago, it was widely reported that the classic Muppets 3D logo that has been outside that show at Hollywood Studios in Florida was removed, and it's been kind of replaced with a nondescript banner, which, of course, still advertises Muppets 3D, but it's not as prominent or as 3D as the former sign was. Yeah. You know, it reminds me a lot of what happened out here in California Adventure. They took down all of the Muppet theming outside of the Muppet Theater, and it's now the Sunset Showcase Theater with absolutely no indication that Muppets had ever been there before. In fact, they even took the key that was under the rug.
Yeah, and the image that's on this is from the Orlando Informer, which is a newspaper from down there. The marquee looks like it has been shrunk in, because I know it's been a long time since I've been down there, but I do recall it. I believe there was a big what's the word I'm looking for? Well, it came away from the wall, and it looked like animal's head was coming out there.
They actually had a Kermit coming out of the wall.
Yeah, and they had a Kermit that was standing over the top of it. But but I'm kind of remembering it like the right above the door. You know, the
a
canopy, saying, yeah. But canopy is not the word. But that looked kind of like animal. And then Kermit had a big 3D thing on top with the balloon. And now it looks like you got a couple of banners of the Muppets. This is basically was known as the Muppets Courtyard, and now it's going to be just some sort of thing called the Grand Avenue that's supposed to look like modern downtown Los Angeles. Who cares? Mm-hmm. That's all I gotta say. Who cares?
And they do say that Muppet Vision 3D is still going to remain there, as well as the Pizza Rizzo restaurant that was opened up last year. With this type of a change, it's kind of strange, and it kind of makes you wonder just how strong of a presence the Muppets are going to have as Hollywood Studios changes Star Wars Galaxy's Edge and Toy Story Land open up here within the next few years.
And at least, you know, they've got a really fantastic Muppet show going on over at Liberty Square over in the Magic Kingdom. Mm-hmm. So we still have some good presence of the Muppets, but, you know, I'd love to see more Muppets in the parks and not less.
Right.
You know, because I worry, honestly, with all of the new things because of the Marvel properties that Disney owns and the Star Wars properties now that Disney owns, and they're bringing that into the park. You know, one thing you could say about Universal is they try to get what is current and trendy and what the pop culture is asking for them to have. Mm-hmm. Disney has always been good at bringing stuff that you didn't know you wanted, but you're going to love. Sort of like Pandora. You didn't really think you were going to want that, but it's apparently everybody's loving it. I haven't heard anybody say different that they didn't like it. But this here lately, they're giving us what is the trendy things that Disney's been putting out. It's been Marvel and, of course, Star Wars. Star Wars is always the thing. But, you know, the nice thing is Star Wars, it's definitely got longevity. It's going to be something that you can come back to at any time. So putting some Star Wars into the parks. But I don't know. It doesn't have the same feel as some of the older Disney properties to me. And I hope they don't go so far into, hey, well, Guardians of the Galaxy is really popular right now, so now we've done that, and we're going to try to do more Marvel because Marvel's popular. Will the Marvel movies be able to continue and form a good legacy like some of the other Disney properties? I don't know. Star Wars has a good, strong legacy, but being that they're basing a lot of stuff kind of on these newer trilogies, will this newer trilogy live up and have this legacy that the original films have? I mean, I don't know. So I do worry a little bit that they're going more, oh, we're doing trendy current Disney, and they're kind of killing off some of their classic bits of Disney. I don't know. That's maybe I'm being weird, but that's a concern I'm starting to have.
Well, ask fans of Mr. Toad in Florida how they feel about new properties coming in.
Yeah. Granted, it was, you know, Winnie the Pooh coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a Disney classic character of sorts. But, yeah, you know, sad to watch Mr. Toad go in order for Winnie the Pooh, because Winnie the Pooh was more popular and still is.
Oh, and you know, to be honest, that really is the story of the theme parks is, you know, there are new properties that come along. There are things that become more popular. And, you know, unfortunately, even park politics come into play. You know, there was the closing of the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea Lagoon there at Magic Kingdom, which I know a lot of people were upset with. You know, it's now, after many years, it was finally replaced with the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train ride, which mm-hmm. a lot of people love. But
I'd be excited to ride that. I'm going to check it out next time I'm down there. Definitely.
But with an untested property like Marvel and the plans that they have, you know, it really is difficult to know and to guess, you know, how they're going to work and how they'll fit in thematically with what's already there. You know, certainly Orlando's not going to be an option for very many Marvel properties, thanks to the agreements that are already in place with Universal Studios. But we've got a whole Marvel plan coming to California Adventure, and you know that'll be a good bellwether test for us to see how well this fits and if it's a land and attractions that we have been waiting for.
Yeah, I just hope they keep that balance between the classic Disney magic and then the mm-hmm. now Disney more sci-fi adventure fun of Star Wars and Marvel that's moving in. You know, as long as they strike a good balance, because I never want to lose that classic magic that mm-hmm. has been Disney for years that we've all loved. And because I've separately loved Disney magic and Star Wars and Marvel as separate things, and now they're all together. I don't want the two, just because they're very popular right now, to push out that classic magic for me. So it scares me a little bit, and maybe I'm being a little worried for no good reason, but I don't know, that's just me. But probably not without good reason. But speaking of Star Wars, Force Friday is September 1st.
I can't believe it's almost September. I cannot believe we're this close to The Last Jedi.
Wow, at the end of this week, and it's Heather's birthday, so you know I got to take her out for something. Although she's not into like Star Wars toys as much, so of course I don't collect a lot of Star Wars toys myself, really, because I don't really get to collect toys. I don't really have that kind of money. But there's going to be stuff going on at the Disney store, and I do have one local to me that I want to check out. But all Disney store locations throughout North America are going to be opening, and this is on StarWars.com. They're going to open the doors on September 1st with the first toys, collectibles, books, apparel, and more from The Last Jedi. And fans are going to be able to tap into the Force with an opening ceremony and enjoy some limited time Find the Force, I was looking at some other stuff on that. That's going to be like a augmented reality with your phone, mm-hmm. as long as you have the Star Wars app. So make sure you have that if you're going to a Disney store. But there's going to be like free Star Wars mini posters for the first 100 guests who make a Disney store purchase. So you better believe on Friday. Oh, dang it. I got to go to school. Oh, no.
At 12:01 a.m.?
Well, I don't know if the mall is going to be open. Maybe they will. See, because the Disney store that's nearby me is actually at it's at the Oak Park Mall, and I remember back when the Phantom Menace came out, I was working at a KB toy store inside the mall, and we couldn't do an overnight thing so much. We had to wait for morning and open up with everything. So I don't know that being that's inside a mall, if they're going to be able to do a midnight thing. And I'm thinking, oh, well, the store won't open at 10, and I will be in class that morning, and I may miss out over at the Disney store. I mean, there's Star Wars story time, Ways of the Force activity, because I want, a mini poster would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I'm sure there'll be plenty of theming. I'll get a chance to get out there. As I remember, I think it was after the last Force Friday, when there were some Star Wars toys, they had projections going on on some displays in the ceiling, and they were showing movie clips, and it was very much a lot of Star Wars stuff, and it was really, really neat. But golly, I don't know if they'll be able to open. I'll have to see if I can find a phone number and see if I can get over there sometime during the day and not miss out. Or if they're going to open at midnight and I can be there at midnight and get, go buy something. I think mainly what I want to buy is these Porg toys, which somebody managed to leak out some video that there's Walmart accidentally had it out where the little Porgs, which are these cute little things, and it makes little noises, kind of flaps its arms, and it's really adorable, and I kind of want one. And so I think that's what I'm going to buy. And then get my poster. So hopefully, I'm going to find out if I can get in there at midnight, and I'll stay up and try to do it. But there's stuff going on at Walmart, too.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got... Walmart is inviting us to be Jedi ready. And they're going to be giving fans opportunities to purchase toys, collectibles, and apparel. Select Walmart stores are going to have a Force Friday 2 weekend parking lot event with Be Jedi Ready games and activities, with free giveaways, including Topps Galactic Connections trading discs and posters for the new EA game Star Wars Battlefront 2. They also are going to be inviting fans in the stores to come and become inventors at a tech demonstration. At the Orlando, Florida Walmart store, they're going to unveil a 6-foot-tall Lego model of Luke Skywalker.
From The Force Awakens, so it is going to be the older Luke.
Exactly. And this has actually been touring the country. It was first unveiled at San Diego Comic-Con, but it's going to be making its permanent home in Orlando, it looks like.
Yep, and visit Walmart.com. You can find out more things going on. Oh, but guess what? Mm-hmm. Toys R Us, of course. They are going to have a red carpet for the fans at Destination Star Wars Gateway to the Galaxy. So Friday, September 1st. Toys R Us is going to host Force Friday midnight opening, of course, which we expected. They're going to give the fans the first opportunity to shop for the toys, and the attendees are going to receive a free Funko Pop Star Wars t-shirt and a free collectible Star Wars The Last Jedi poster while supplies last. It's the first in a series of free poster giveaways, and there's going to be a new one every month leading up to the theatrical release of the movie.
All right.
So now I've got that decision. Do I want to... I'll find out. If the Disney store is going to do a midnight opening, I'll try to go there. And I'll try to get some video, some audio, or something maybe to share next week. But if they're not going to do a midnight, I'll try to go to Toys R Us and see if I can get a t-shirt and this Last Jedi poster. And then try to get whatever, my Porg or whatever from there. Hopefully there's not going to be a bunch of people go in and buy all the stuff, clean out the shelves, and then turn around and put it on eBay. Because that, if you do that, you are a jerk.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
There's some stuff going on about the Toys R Us California with the Land Speeder,
Canada, actually.
Oh, is that what that is? Canada. California.
Toys R Us in Canada are going to have 5 openings across Canada. The first 100 fans there are also going to be getting that free Last Jedi poster and the t-shirt. It looks like they're going to be having one of the things about Toys R Us is they're going to have the exclusive for that land speeder we were talking about a few weeks ago.
Yes, which I'd buy one if I could fit in it. Target's going to have some things, of course, going on at midnight. They're going to have some Target exclusives, participating also in the Find Your Force, and also a raffle prize of the Star Wars Last Jedi plush that's only going to be in Target. If you go to Target.com, you find out what's going on. And there's something that says, don't forget to bring your Rey game here on StarWars.com. I have no idea what that means.
Neither do I. But you will release these binders.
No, I won't.
And I completely blinked out on the line.
This is kind of weird. Staples. Staples.
Yes.
We'll have drones, Star Wars drones, available. That's about it at Staples.
They want to get in on the action, as does Pottery Barn Kids.
Well, sure.
Now, so, they're They have a Star Wars collection of bedding, backpacks, furniture, and decor.
Yeah, I was thinking Pottery Barn. I thought you'd be crafting things or something. That's why I was kind of surprised. So it's...
Well, and actually, Pottery Barn has had a range of Star Wars kitchen gadgets.
Huh. That'd be fun. Something to imprint Darth Vader's head on your toast.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I've never heard of PBT, but I guess they're going to have some stuff. Bedding and furniture and decor. Is that pretty much what the rest of these here? Because Kohl's, JCPenney, I mean, a lot of stores are listed here. So just go to StarWars.com. Oh, okay, Hot Topic. You're going to find some Funko Pops and some Star Wars tees. That's cool. GameStop, of course. Lots of different Star Wars toys and collectibles. Star Wars Battlefront 2, it will be available for pre-order on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. And
you, that comes out in November.
Right, but you can still pre-order, I guess. Mm-hmm. Think Geek, that's mainly an online store. It looks like there's going to be some stuff for cosplay, I guess. Or does Think Geek actually mm-hmm. have some physical locations?
I honestly don't know.
Because they're mentioning that they're going to have some fun at the stores and have some trivia and cosplay and stuff. So, mm-hmm. A lot of Build-A-Bear, lots of Best Buy. They're going to have some things.
Bed Bath & Beyond.
Bed Bath & Beyond. Apple stores. Lots mm-hmm. of stuff at Apple stores. Amazon. Yeah, a lot of different places to buy your gear. This is bigger than I expected. I expected a few stores, but yeah, Amazon and... stores I've never heard of, so you have no excuse to not get what you're after, or at least to go try to find it. And mm-hmm. yeah, there will be this augmented reality, so bring the app, and I'm sure the app, if as long as you keep it updated, will tell you what you need to do and feel, you know, it's going to be, I guess, a locational type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of some Star Wars, I did manage to pick up a copy of Entertainment Weekly that has, I've already seen there's a new one with Star Trek stuff on it for the new series there, but I haven't read the article, but for Star Wars The Last Jedi, it does have some nice images. You get to see a Porg, and I don't know if you got to see how many of these images, a lot of them had popped up online, but there's a couple of things that they look like they have turtle heads. They're like nuns with turtle heads, and they kind of remind me of the Neverending Story, you know, the giant turtle. Mm-hmm. That sneezes. That's what these things look like. And they are known as the caretakers. Of what? I do not know. But I'm kind of glad I haven't read the article, because I wouldn't want to go and tell you what's in the article and spoil anything for the film, who everybody who might be trying to avoid everything. So, there were some new vehicles that put out at StarWars.com and also on the Star Wars show on YouTube. And the only things I'll say about some of these new vehicles is you have a new AT Walker. What was it? AT-MT or something like that. Very, very similar to what we're familiar with an AT-AT or AT-AT.
But one of the things that I found really interesting is that this one's going to move differently than the AT-ATs.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a little faster, too.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't grab up any articles that talked about it because I didn't want to go too far into and ruin anything. So,
and that was actually discussed in the most recent Star Wars show on YouTube.
Yeah, so if you really want more information, you can go there. They also talk about a new, it looks like basically a flat Star Destroyer with a bunch of cannons that can pop out the top and stuff like that. But the one thing I will say about these is it's nice that it has some of that classic style design going on, with a slightly modern, updated look to some of these things. So with different technology, so I do like that it has a familiarity to it with something new. Mm-hmm. So I am enjoying looking at these things, but I don't want to get too far because if anybody wants to completely avoid anything, feel free to avoid. So Bill Nye, the suing guy, huh?
Yeah, he's not just an engineer.
Yeah, he's a guy who wants to sue people because he's an entertainer, and I read over this article and it still doesn't completely make much sense to me, but he feels like he didn't get enough money for his Emmy winning show of Bill Nye the Science Guy. And I don't know all the details. There's an article on Deadline.com about this, and it gets fraudulent on their profit recordings, and the part that confuses me is this was done on public television, right? So I don't understand where the profits come in. I don't understand this at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it was, while it ran on PBS, I know that Disney did have a distribution agreement, which is really what this all boils down to, is how much he received from that distribution agreement.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he was getting some royalties from the ride that is now closed. And maybe that's what has helped inspire his move to do this, is that his ride isn't going to be getting him those residual checks anymore. And so he's, I don't know, working on an income stream. All I can really say about this is, like, I hope he realized what he's getting into, because Disney can lawyer up with the best of them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's even parts in this article that mention that Disney feels that he actually might owe them a little money, that they might have overpaid him at some point.
So it'll be definitely interesting to see how this pays out. Now, while Disney can lawyer up, you know, they certainly are not immune from court judgments. I think we can easily look at the Peggy Lee case after Lady and the Tramp was released on VHS to see how things can change over the course of the years and the contracts that are signed. But definitely an interesting thing to follow at this point.
Yep. Just in case you're curious how that's going to turn out. And, I don't think I'm going to follow it that closely. I'm not overly concerned about it myself. So, but we don't have a movie review really this week, other than, unless you recall that this was an hour-long premiere a couple of weeks ago, and we haven't got a chance to talk about it. But mm-hmm. DuckTales. Woo-hoo.
Woo!
Hello out there in TV land.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
A Neverland podcast television review.
Yeah, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It was fresh. It was new. It had some great callbacks and call-outs to the original series. It was an homage to Carl Barks and all of the work that he did. I am so excited for this new series. And this these two episodes, this movie, was just the right had just the right amount of everything for me.
Yeah, it was a lot
really
of fun.
Enjoyed it. Yeah.
And the main thing that I see where people have not liked it is because they're really hanging on to the classic DuckTales series, and there's nothing wrong with loving that classic DuckTales series. I still love that one, too.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to set that aside and take that for what it was. And as Tad Stones was telling us, take this one as a brand new series and look at it on its own merits.
And brand new universe.
A brand new universe. And there's lots to enjoy. Some people be like, oh gosh, Huey, Dewey, and Louie have different voices, kind of. And they, they're finding little things to nitpick about. So far, and that's mainly what I've heard. It's a lot of kind of nitpicky things out of people who didn't enjoy it, and I think it's just part of that determination. They just don't want to like it because they love the classic, and you really just have to take a step back and just give it a chance. Because I thought it was a lot of fun. It was more, definitely more comedy based, I think, than the classic. It's more mm-hmm. wackiness. It's the typical of the modern cartoons where you have to have a gag every 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. It did remind me of that style. But it was fun. I mean, they weren't like super, you're going to roll over and die laughing. But they were silly and fun. Donald is doing exactly what you expect him to do, and he gets stuck with all that luck. The characters do exactly what you expect of them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. And, like I said, I love the little call-outs to the original show. Mm-hmm. Of course, we see the Aztec coin there in Scrooge's garage. And I loved the symbolic message that they were sending about Webby with the arrow through her doll.
Yep. There's mentions of St. Canard and Spoonerville mm-hmm. and, oh, my goodness. And
Cape Suzette?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's all there and enough to where, like Tadstos was saying, that they're to have just guest appearances of these characters wouldn't be saying enough of what they're doing, of being able to connect to it. Now, what all that means, I can't say, because I don't know. I don't fully understand, but I know we're going to be very pleased with seeing how these other characters are going to fit in to the universe. Mm-hmm.
I'm just sitting here wringing my hands, waiting for that first glimpse of Darkwing Duck.
Yes, we know in some fashion we're going to see something. Somehow, some way, it's going to be there. I don't know if we'll see it all on September 23rd, but
it's coming. I doubt we will.
Yep, and you did find some information about that first episode, but I don't know if we should tell anybody because there might be people who don't want to know until it airs.
Again, as I mentioned earlier, I think what we can say is that the Beagle Boys are involved. And the other episode centers around Scrooge's number one dime.
Which is exactly what it should be doing because it's DuckTales.
Exactly.
Yes. Alrighty. As another review for the week, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 has come out on DVD and Blu-ray this week. And I went ahead and picked myself up a copy. And I didn't get a chance to watch the film to see how good it looks. But I did watch the special features.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciated that there's actually a pretty decent behind the scenes. It feels like they used to get more in-depth, or maybe it's just from Lord of the Rings. I loved the very in-depth process of filmmaking that you used to get on some of these. And this is, it's over a half an hour of behind the scenes. But I don't feel like they got into the details of building the sets as much as I would like. But a lot of the sets, of course, were computer generated. But I still really enjoyed it, and I still think the best special feature, other than the deleted scenes, I really enjoyed. But I absolutely love that Guardians Inferno video.
And I love all of the cameos in it, too.
Oh, yes. And now that I'm seeing it on my television instead of on a computer screen when they put it on YouTube, I'm getting to spot like where Sean Gunn pops up and where
Michael Rooker is.
Michael Rooker and Gamora. I forgot her name. Zoe Saldana. Spotting her, and then having Chris Pratt at the end pop out the robot head.
Yeah.
There was one person
was it Sean Gunn?
Well, it was one guy. I think it was Michael Rooker. I had a hard time recognizing it at first because he looked so different. But I think I did kind of manage to ID him because they keep showing the cast members. I can't think if there was somebody else that I had a hard time identifying. But Sean Gunn, I could recognize him. I've seen him in person before. I've seen Michael Rooker in person before, too. Not up close, but... maybe one of these days. But I definitely enjoyed that. What do you think of some of the special features? Anything stand out to you?
I haven't seen all of the special features, but I've played the movie about a half dozen times since Tuesday.
My goodness. How did it look? Good?
Looks great on my PlayStation 4. The digital copy looks great on my iPad. It's a great translation from the big screen.
And that's pretty much all we can say in a review about the thing. Now, neither one of us have any sort of a 4K to talk about what it looks like in 4K, and I don't know exactly when 4K is going to step up and be the new standard, but there's cameras actually that I can work with that can shoot in 4K, but, I've noticed, like, when I did my, the documentary that you can find on the YouTube channel, when I was filming up in Marceline, when I first made it and I did it to its full high definition, it doesn't feel cinematic until I lower the frame rate down to like 24.95, which is where standard film is. So, I think there's a certain point you get so far high definition that it doesn't feel like you're watching a movie so much anymore. And so I don't want to ever cross that threshold. So I'm really hesitant to even look at 4K. It's really expensive right now anyway. So
yeah.
So if you're into the 4K thing, if you want to let us know what you thought of it, feel free to send us some feedback on that because we'd love to hear from you. Something else I'd love to hear from people on is, do you realize we're coming up on 200 episodes?
Wow.
Yes, and I have not – I'm so busy with school and I've been so overwhelmed by the thought of, wow, 200 episodes. I'm not sure what I want to do for it. Trenton Larkin of Who Did That Voice said, well, why don't you have some listeners send some feedback of what the show has meant to them for much of their listening. I'm always hesitant to have the show completely rely on feedback because we don't get a whole lot of feedback around here. I know I've got a bunch of new reviews I need to go and read sometime. But if you do want to go and send us something about what the show has meant to you and how you found the show and how you've enjoyed it, I think a lot of people actually have been listening to the show because they've ridden with me on Uber. Because we get talking Disney, and I find some Disney fans in there, and I hand out my card to a lot of people, and hopefully they're all listening and enjoying the show. So, you know, but I'd like to hear back from some people. And if you have something you think we should do for 200 episodes, I mean, at 100 episodes, I did a 100 clips, which was fun and a whole lot of work. And I don't think I could do 200 clips to go for that sort of a show. But I feel like we need to do something special. Do you have any ideas of what you think we should do?
To be honest, I'm tapped out.
Yeah, I mean, it's really big, and I don't want to be just normal, but we got to do something special, and we will come up with something, I'm sure, before this happens in just a few more episodes. And it's also really close to completing our fourth year.
Which, wow.
Yeah, wow. I can't believe I've been doing this that long. And see, and you've been along for about 2 years of this now, haven't you?
Yeah. I started listening about 2.5 years ago, and the first show that I was on, we were talking about Inside Out.
Wow, that was a long time ago. So, whew. So we've come a long way in this show, especially if you go back and listen to that very first episode. It's just, well, I don't want to say it's awful, but it's not very good. I'm trying to be positive about it, but we really, I guess, need to wrap this up. I do have some stuff I plan to do for some Neverland story time, but we've already ran an hour, so we'll save it for another time. But I do have some new audio because I do. I've been finding at Target and all kinds of places where they have all these Disney new CDs, story read along things, and I do have a new one that I want to share. But we'll see if we can do that next week.
All right.
But until then, you know, thanks to everybody for coming along with this. And well, it's nice to be able to get back to some sort of a normalcy after a couple of weeks.
Oh, definitely.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
Please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPCast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/NeverlandPodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Band Productions, and a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com for our new ending music.
God bless!
Yeah! Hello everybody, this is Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Yeah!
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.